Well, my commitment to this podcast is that I want to speak to people from all walks of life and all parts of life. And that includes talking to women, even though this is a podcast about men. I wanted to get a view on what a woman thinks about what it means to be a man. I want to create civilized discourse on this and get ideas from everywhere. We're trying to get to the bottom of this. So the first woman that agreed to come on this podcast, it was very kind to come on the show with me, was Alta Ponja. She is a lawyer in training. She works in London. And she very kindly agreed to come and share her views on masculinity and men and what women find attractive, or at least what she finds attractive in a man. When men were men. Alta, first of all, I must confess this to you. I don't actually know how to pronounce your surname.
It's Ponja.
Ponja.
Yes.
Okay, so the X is like a J.
XH is a J.
Oh, XH is like a J. Is that similar in Turkish as well? Or is that more kind of like similar to Russian or...
I'm not too sure, to be honest. It's Albanian is an Illyrian language, so...
Illyrian? Yes. What does that mean?
It's a very, very old society. It's one of the older society in the Balkans. So really? I'm not sure where it comes from, this X and H, but it's definitely a J sound, yeah.
Okay, well that's interesting. So obviously you are of Albanian descent.
Yes.
Have you lived in London all your life?
No, so I came here when I was 8 years old with my family, and I've been here for 20 years.
So I know obviously you're saying Albanian descent, you spent a long time in London. That probably, you know, they say contrast is an important thing. It helps you notice a difference in the gaps of things. What are some of the differences you've noticed in men between Albania and London? Or Albania and the UK?
I think one of the major differences that I've noticed between Albanian and British men is that Albanian men have very strong family values.
Okay.
That is something that comes across, you know, from all of my uncles, my dad, brother, you know, that's something that I definitely have picked up on as being a difference.
Give me some examples of something, let's say something that your dad wouldn't do that a British guy might do.
Something that my dad wouldn't do. So, okay, so divorce is like a major...
Oh,
like,
it's major no-no.
Okay. Yeah.
So very similar to Pakistanis in that sense.
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, that's definitely something that, like, people in Albania, they end Kosovo. So they, like, they fight to the very end for the for the marriage.
Okay.
Not to say that British people don't.
Okay.
That, absolutely not. But it's just because I think society has a lot to do with it, you know, and it's frowned upon.
Okay.
And
is a lot of it to do with the worry of what will people say if we...
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of...
So it's very similar to the Pakistani Indian culture then.
Yeah.
And would you say that... Because, you know, presumably, like, with your brother, who's now the next generation after, has probably spent more time in the UK, there's been some kind of dilution of those values in any way, would you say, or...?
Dilution, a little bit, I think. I'll give you an example. My brother has brought a girl home, introduced her to the parents, and they're still not engaged, and that's been around like 2 years, 3 years
wow,
now.
Okay.
So that would have been a big deal in Albania, you know.
Right.
You know, if that happened in Albania, you know, you would have to come with a more serious tone. So, you know, you only introduce your other half if, you know, they really are your other half. So, you know, you're ready for engagement.
Okay.
So I think that's the dilution there. Like, and my parents...
But has that dilution taken place because of the time spent in Britain, do you think? Or do you think Albania is now moving on as well? Or where has that come from?
I think, yes, that in terms of living in Britain, I think my parents have been, you know, like more... kind of relaxed about,
Okay.
their attitudes have been more
So a
relaxed.
man is a product of his environment then.
I agree with that. Yeah,
Okay.
I definitely
Okay.
agree with that.
Okay.
My dad is just the number one person of like the perfect example of that. He, he's so, my sister tells me that he's so different, how he's treated her and how he's treated me.
Really?
Yeah, so in terms of, because my sister's nearly 10 years older than
Right.
I am.
Okay.
So yeah, so it there's a massive difference, and he's just kind of, she says to me that he's like calmed down a lot.
Okay. But that could be like an age thing as well.
That could be
Because
an age thing.
when my dad got past like well, I was expecting this at 50, but I would say it probably happened at about 50, 56, 57, maybe. I think it happened about 60. He's mellowed out a lot now, whereas he would give me a hard time for very little things very, very quickly. And I remember him actually saying to me, he said it to me in Urdu, but so in Urdu we have this term is like, oh, after 50 you're on holiday, which when you translate what it means is that you can just give up after 50. It's all over after 50. And what he meant was like, you know, men have a lot of testosterone, they have a lot of this bravado and aggression and everything. And he goes after, and my dad's always been a very, very hard worker all his life. But after 50 he says, oh, you lose a lot of that. So he kind of attributes it to, okay, well, I don't have as much aggression now because, you know, after 50 you're on holiday kind of thing.
That's a really interesting point. I think that's very accurate for my dad. He's just, it could be that he's just mellowed out a lot from
Okay.
age, but with my sister, given that she's 10 years older than me, she's experienced,
Yeah.
you
Yeah.
know, him at a more,
Strong and silent type.
rather
The
than,
main kind of 50s classic guy, you know,
yeah.
from what's that film, The Fountainhead, I think it's called. You know, they're very like my woman and all that kind of stuff,
Yeah.
very kind of strong. And so
Yes.
is Albania a patriarchal society?
Absolutely, it
Okay,
is.
and that's all of Albania or pockets of Albania?
I
Or
would say that's absolutely all of Albania.
okay,
Yeah.
because Pakistan is, from what I understand, because I haven't been for a very long time, Pakistan is all patriarchal, but India apparently isn't. So India is, I can't remember which way around it is. I think northern India is mostly patriarchal, and then southern India apparently is mostly matriarchal. And so there's a lot of differences there. And then like, and there are a lot of people that migrated from Pakistan to like northern Africa, like quite a few decades ago, and then those societies were matriarchal, so they've become matriarchal. So if you get into a marriage where the guy is patriarchal and the woman's matriarchal, it lends for very interesting times.
I can
Very, very
imagine,
interesting times.
yeah.
So, okay, so all of Albania is patriarchal, and you're like, what are the neighboring countries to Albania?
So you've got Macedonia,
Yep.
you've got Montenegro,
Okay.
you've got Kosovo.
Okay, and are these all patriarchal as well, would you say?
I mean, my dad is Kosovan, so yeah,
Okay.
100% I would say Kosovan, they're
Okay.
very patriarchal too.
Okay.
But I've got some Macedonian family, and I know of Montenegro people, so I think yes, like they're more, it's more patriarchal, like
Right.
dominant. It's
Okay.
more male dominant. They take the lead on things. It's,
Okay.
yeah, that's
Okay.
fair to say, I think.
So, look, I know this is a stereotype, so I'm just putting this forward for your views because I'm not saying I enforce this stereotype at all, but a lot of the times when you watch movies, right? I'm sure you can think of which one I'm thinking of, which is Taken. Always show Albanians as these, you know,
Bad guys,
mafia, yeah,
yes.
bad guys, mafia, terrorism,
Yes.
guns, bravado, all this kind of stuff. I'm assuming a lot of that is not true and it's just a stereotype, what are men like in that sense?
No, it definitely is a stereotype. However, some people, I think, it's fair to say that some people have, because of the economy
Yeah.
in these countries like Albania and Kosovo, they are their economy and corruption is very bad.
Okay.
So some people have turned to
Yeah.
like dealing drugs in order
Right.
to in
Out of
order to like,
desperation,
but
basically.
in order to protect their family. So there's
Right.
again this patriarchal thing. There's this,
Yeah.
like the man should provide, and they will do
Okay.
absolutely anything to provide for their family.
Right.
So I my great grandfather was actually a paid hitman.
Wow.
Yeah, so he had to do
That's
that.
scary.
That is scary, yeah.
Okay.
I only found that out like around maybe 5 years ago, and I was shocked. And that was from my grandma who told me this, and I was shocked. So, they are known for, like, they will do absolutely everything to like protect their family and
Okay.
like not let them
Men are
starve.
very protective of their family,
Yes.
so there must be honor where the wife is concerned, where the child is concerned,
Yes.
but then the guy must be the head of the decision making on everything. And
Yes.
does that filter down even to like what curtains you're gonna have on in the house, or not as
No.
much as that?
No. So when it comes to things like housework,
Okay.
they are like, this is considered as like a woman's job, and
Okay.
like a woman, like my mom, she's very much like, this doesn't concern you.
Okay.
It's a woman's like territory.
Okay.
This is very typical kind of behavior for my mom, and I
Okay.
think, and then her generation, which is like a woman will is meant to like support the family, support the husband, pretty much like be in the kitchen, kind of
Yeah.
this kind of attitude.
Okay, and are jobs frowned upon for a woman, or?
Not that jobs are frowned upon,
But her
but you
primary
but
role is the.
yes, so you so if you can do both, that one
Yeah.
affecting the other, then absolutely, like that, they do encourage that. It's just that if you feel like you're prioritizing and deprioritizing the other one, then
Right.
one over the other, then no,
Okay. Then
that's
it's okay.
you have to choose one or the other kind of thing.
But then if it's a patriarchal setup,
Yeah.
I'm assuming that in an Albanian household, the guys are treated very differently to the girls, as in
Absolutely,
the
they
guy
are.
doesn't have to do any of the cooking or the cleaning or
Yes.
none of the domestic, and then the
Yes.
girls are doing
Yes.
all of it. Okay, so you
Absolutely.
still have, so I'm assuming that. So, because I don't want to get into disparaging anybody, but I'm assuming then that, even though because I've seen this in Pakistani families where there's been a dilution in the family values. I'm talking about amongst the men, right? So there's a dilution in the family values where it's not as strong as it used to be. I mean, there are still a lot of things. They're very protective of their sisters, of their mothers. They want to be the first decision maker and everything. So there's not that much dilution there. But then there's a lot there's there sorry there's some dilution there, and then there is and this idea of the dating and all those kind of things that you're talking about, there's some dilution that's taken place there. But then you would think that if you consider that to be progression, then you would assume that then progression also means that if your role can change, then the woman's role also changes. Therefore, perhaps it's okay for you to cook, it's okay for you to clean, it's okay for you to take responsibility in those things. So,
Yep. You
what's
would
going on there?
so you would think that that's the case. However, from my experience, that hasn't been the case at all. I've had arguments, like countless arguments with my dad. I give my opinion, but he's also very, opinionated himself, and
Okay.
he's got
And does it, when you argue with him, does he consider that disrespectful as well?
he does.
Okay, so that's considered
Like
like insulting. It's
exactly.
not a
Yeah.
considered discussion.
No, exactly.
Okay.
However, he's very vocal that, like a woman, yes, you can, my dad has always said to me, look, education first, you're gonna get a job. He's never said to me, your place is in the kitchen or anything like that. But he's also said to me that you must prioritize that, and it's not my job as a man to be able to do womanly things, and I
Okay.
say womanly in
Yeah.
quotation marks,
Yeah.
such as cook and clean. He goes, I will come back from work and I'm tired, I will have like I will need XYZ on the table, and this is his mentality. And I've kind of just thought to myself, I'm never going to change his mind because
Yeah,
he's in a
you've
different
actually resigned
generation.
to it, yeah.
Yeah, he's as much as he has changed, this is something that he will never change,
But you're noticing it in the additional, in the generation that comes after it, you're noticing that they're picking and choosing what they want out of the previous generation, and then, so there's this dilution in values in terms of, okay, I'm gonna bring a girl home, but then there's also, oh no, it's a woman's job to cook as well. There must be some double standard there, right?
There is definitely a double standard. I see it with my brother. He will expect his girlfriend to be, to do more these womanly jobs. And
Okay,
again,
but
this
she probably
quotation
has
mark.
to work.
Well, she just finished university,
Okay,
but
that's
I
it.
don't think that she's the type of person to kind of, conform to that kind of, because,
Okay.
it's 2019, and I think
Yeah.
there's a lot of change happening, and rightly so. I don't think that there is a typical job that you can say that a man can do that a woman can't, and I'm not someone who's I like to consider myself as a feminist, but in the sense that, who is someone who is believes in equality. I don't believe that I am better than a man, but I don't believe a man is better than me. I think it should be equal, you know. And when
But do you feel that there is a difference in roles in society? And when I'm talking about roles, I'm not talking about in the house, that a guy should be at the job and the woman should be in the kitchen. But there are different ways that men and women contribute in society, or their roles that are in society. You know, women are nurturers, men are kind of, you know, men might be the guys that go and, I don't know, do something that's more risk of, I don't know, but do you believe in that or?
I mean, you see it, for example, you know, most men are me most mechanics are men. You know, most people that work in salons are women. You know, you do see this kind of typical
Separation.
separation. But
And that's okay.
that's okay if you want to do that, absolutely. But there is nothing stopping a woman from going to and applying for a mechanic role after she's done, you know, the appropriate, you know, education. There's nothing that should be stopping her from doing that, you know. But yes, there is this natural separation, you know, and I think that's fine. It's just you do whatever you want to do, kind of thing. It shouldn't stop you because of your gender.
Okay. But do you feel like, okay, the question, what do you consider to be like the ideal man? What is your opinion of what a man should be? And also what his role should be?
So, like, I know this is going to sound quite controversial in terms of what I've just said about my dad, but I consider the ideal man to be at least like to the level of my dad or above. So I say, you know, as above, like at least, at the very least, my dad, he's a family man. He's got strong family values. He will do anything for his family. He's sacrificed so much. And yes, like he's got some old-fashioned mentality, but he is a wonderful dad, you know.
Oh, that's very nice to hear.
You know, I would want that to be reflected upon, like someone who I marry, those values, you know, the strong family
So a
values.
man should have strong family values.
Yes, I think
What
that's
else?
a man should want be able to want to fight for and this is not just a man, but this is a woman too. But if we're talking about
We're
just
just talking
men,
about men,
yeah, you
Since we're on a
know,
men's
yeah.
podcast.
That to be able to just fight for for the marriage, to, you know,
And what does that fighting look like, though?
like I just feel like people just give up a lot easily these days. You know, my mum and dad have had a 30-year marriage. That's my goal. That's I don't want to be able to say to my, you know, to I want to be able to say to myself that I tried absolutely everything, and I can only try absolutely with everything to
If
with a
the other guy
person.
does it as well.
Yes,
Yes, if the
yes.
man, but you don't, so like, you know what I'm hearing from you is that because there's been that dilution in the family values, it's not happening as much as it used to.
Yeah.
And that's probably, I'm assuming that's a fear you have, like, you know, now if
Yes.
you're looking to marry somebody, you're thinking, does this guy have the same resolve that my father's had? That's what you're looking for.
Yes, absolutely. Resolve is a good word, you know. And dedication, passion. These are, you know, my dad. He's a man of his word. That's something that I like a lot. You know, if he guarantees something for you, he will do it, you know. He's also so compassionate and
He's also
like,
a really good craftsman, right?
yeah, he's a
He's gonna make
really,
me a bed one
yes, very good craftsman.
day.
He is anything he picks up, he will be able to just use his brain and just do it. Anything, you know, it
They're
could
very
be
practical. I think
very
the
practical.
generation of men that came, I mean, one of the things that my dad once said to me, which he has, I don't think he has any idea how much it pierced me, he said to me, "You're not very practical." And what he meant was, you're just not very good with your hands. And he's actually quite right about that. And I don't know if that's become like a settled belief now, because I'm not that great with my hands in terms of, you know, I'm not very good around a car. I'm nervous about having to change a tire. You know, I can just about change a light bulb, but you know, but the things that I have taken from him, which he was very adamant with me, was, you know, family values, you know, honor of your woman, honor of your children. You know, everything that you say is, there's a lot of similar. Your dad sounds very, very similar to my dad in terms of the family values and everything. It sounds very, very similar, and that's like the idea of what a man should be.
Yes,
It sounds very
absolutely. I
good.
think people now that we try as women, I think we try to quantify and make things tangible into like these qualities, and then you put them into a search into like using Tinder or using
Yeah,
like
but
Bumble,
you can't really
and then you
find them.
can't and you can't find them, and it's a very unfair, I think, to men. You hear a lot, oh, I want a man to be tall, dark and handsome. I want a man to be, oh, open the door for me. And these are stupid things,
I'm glad you're saying this. Thank you.
No, I mean, like, you can't really be using these things as a way to determine if a man is really like a man. This is what,
What is
or
so the measure? But what you're saying is the measure of the man is really the family values, right? I tell you, one guy once said to me, this was somebody that was quite successful. He was an entrepreneur, but he was from abroad, and this was before I got married. And he said to me, he said that most of the men that he knew, they felt like the only way that they could get married was if they had a really nice car and they had a house, and I mean, I see that. I mean, you heard from Zishan on the on episode on the first episode as well that his idea of masculinity is very much attached to
Possessions.
his financial position, basically. And I think that's really eating guys, especially in the economy that we live in today,
Yes, it
which is
is.
very difficult to as a single guy to be able to pay for the car and for the ha and to have the best car, to have a really good house, and to be able to take the wife on holidays. And a fancy honeymoon, and a big wedding, and the latest iPhone, and a MacBook, and all everything else. To you can't do that on a single salary anymore, unless you're working 60, 70 hours a week, and you're also in some of the rare jobs that not everybody can get into, Pricewaterhouse, and Credit Suisse, and all of this. So, if you were to speak to all the men that are listening to this, that what is it that really attracts a woman, in terms of what he has to be as a man? What I'm hearing from you is that if the guy has really good family values, that's a lot more attractive than what he, where he stands materially.
Yeah, absolutely. I can only speak on my behalf and what I find, something that like very attractive in a man, that that what makes him a man. Yes, strong family values is one, but also, like men of their word, like men of honor, like who actually honor their word and say yes, it
Give me an
does.
example of when, I'm not asking you to share obviously anything personal, but give me an example of when a guy has not honored his word. And it's something even that's just so basic that gives you, says to you, this is the part of the bigger picture of who this guy is, that this is somebody that's not going to keep his word. There's no integrity there, obviously. What they always say, integrity is like a wooden table, right? It's like wherever you knock on it, it's always solid. But give me an example of that.
An example of a man who has not kept his word. That's quite difficult. I think the most like typical example I can give is it's just like people that you like I've met online, for example, who I've tried to give it a chance to in terms of having a, I don't know, a potential relationship, and then them saying, well, I'm not looking for a relationship, I'm looking for something that's more casual,
Oh, right.
and that doesn't, sorry, that doesn't come across straight away, but it comes across like a bit later on, and it's
So
like,
there's
well,
some
I've
deception there.
invested my time in you, so why wouldn't you just be honest, just be honest.
So there's a
And
lot of masking there, isn't there?
there is, I mean, this is I think one person told me that I was very naive for thinking that that casual relationships shouldn't really happen as much as they do, and then he was like, well, that's very naive of you, and I think, well, okay, that was just my
So you've
opinion.
just picked up on something really interesting there. I have a confession to make. So there's been obviously there's this whole Me Too movement, everything. There's been a lot of this stuff that's come out about men have very predatory behavior, this kind of stuff. And obviously I understand that all these things have taken place, but I had an experience of my own about a year or two ago where I had a problem with there was a woman that was being very predatory, right? So I was starting to feel like, okay, maybe some of these stories are being made up, or maybe it's just to sell papers and this kind of stuff. Then I had to do a fashion shoot this weekend, and I saw predatory behavior with my own eyes.
My
And
God.
I thought, oh my God, like I thought maybe these are just rare cases. So now I'm starting to realize, so it's just been my kind of, I've been in my own little orbit here and not realized actually how bad this actually is. But one common theme that like my sister's trying to get married at the moment, and there's other, my wife has and other friends that are trying to get married and things. And one thing that constantly comes up is guys are always projecting onto the woman that if this if even this, before we've even got to the marriage or even after the marriage, if this has failed, it's all your fault.
Mm.
Like, this seems to happen a lot.
Yeah.
Do you feel this way, that there's a lot of this projecting that comes from the men, or there just have been a few instances, or?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I do feel there's been projection. You know, there's definitely this kind of, I don't know, this kind of entitlement, I think, that, you know,
right.
you see a lot, especially online, you
yeah.
know, there's this like, this is what I need, this is what I want, you know, if you're not okay with that, well,
I'll move on
to the next one. There's a lot of choice.
Okay.
You know?
So in the like the, you know, the Eastern European cultures and the Asian cultures, a lot of that entitlement has come from the patriarchal kind of setup of the society, right? Which we've touched on now already.
Yeah.
Where do you think this sense of entitlement has come from in societies where they're not as patriarchal and they don't have as many family values? Where does that come from?
I think that's, you know, you have a lot of choice, okay? I say no to you, someone else will say yes.
Okay.
You know, I just think that because there's so much choice, you're very replaceable.
Okay.
You know, and
so everybody's very dispensable now.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. Like, and you know, that's very clear. That's come across very clear to me.
Okay.
That, you know, like,
but you're not thinking this way, so how come, if you're not thinking this way, why is everybody else thinking this way?
I don't know. That's a good question. I wish I knew. I'm sure that there is someone out there, you know, who is a guy who doesn't really think like this. And it's just from my own experiences, this has been a very common theme, you know.
Yeah.
I can't generalize, and, you know, maybe I have generalized in this conversation, and I don't
No,
want
I,
to.
I genuinely see in the Muslim circles, I have seen this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's varying degrees of what kind of, how much Islam people practice, right? So some have very strong Islamic or family values and some have not so much. But in all the ranges, where even if the guy has very strong Islamic values, very strong family values, I still have heard about many cases of entitlement and projection.
Mm-hmm.
And then even when the family values or the Islamic values are not so strong, still the same thing,
mm-hmm.
again and again. So I do see it across the board. This seems to be quite specific to men. I know I'm doing my own gender a disservice here by saying this, but it does seem to be quite... And I've been trying to get to the bottom of where this is coming from. Patriarchy is some of it, the patriarchal societies, but we're living in Britain, which isn't as patriarchal, I suppose.
That's
so true. Where is that coming from?
Maybe women are more liberal to, you know, to kind of say, yes, okay, it's fine with me.
Yeah, do you feel like women then feel like they have to pander to it? Well, that's what the guy's like, so I'm going to pander to it now.
Maybe. I think there's definitely an element of that. Maybe some women feel pressured that, like, they must adhere to these people's projections, to these men's projections, in order to keep that man, you know?
Okay.
You know,
do you feel like, I mean, so talking from a guy's perspective, right? I know with a lot of guys, even if the woman is kind of doing everything that he wants, that's not necessarily that attractive to him. He actually wants a little bit of resistance, but not in the same way as playing hard to get. But he does actually want a woman that kind of thinks for her. Not like, I know, I'm not saying think for herself. That's the wrong thing to do. It's very kind of patronizing. But you get what I'm saying. She's got that kind of independent kind of, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But I am a catch, and I have my sense of self-worth and my dignity and my self-respect and, you know, a high sense of self-esteem, basically.
Yeah. Then that definitely can come across by someone who is ready for a relationship. I think my issue is, you know, that there are loads of people out there who are not ready for a relationship, but they're ready for everything else that comes with the physical side of a relationship.
Okay.
You know?
And it's not that attractive to women, is it really?
I mean, not to me. Maybe it is for some women. You know, it just depends on the person. But to me, like, that's not the what's attractive in a man. What's attractive in a man, and what makes what I believe a man is these, you know, these values that I've just talked about. And you know, like I said before, not to try and say, oh, you know, I need someone who's really nice to my mum and who's gonna open my door, like, you know, when the car door or whatever. Not even the chivalry.
Right.
It's, you know, it's just, I think for me the most important thing is someone who is, you know, who's just like a man of his word. Yeah, the things that I've said before, the strong family values, willing to sacrifice and be selfless sometimes, you know? You know, I think in one of the podcasts that I am, of your podcast that I listened to, one of them said that It was his job to look after his daughters, even though they have no idea that he's looking after them, and then they're completely
It's
oblivious.
very,
Yeah, and like, you know, you're being a parent, being a man, it's sometimes, you know, like having these strong family values. Yeah, it's a thankless job, you know? Not everyone's gonna say, well done for being a man, you know? But
But
these
the
are.
guy finds satisfaction in doing that
Exactly,
anyway.
and that is something that is, like, you can't.
You don't
That
have
is
to go,
just.
you don't have to seek physical satisfaction in a woman. You can seek satisfaction from other things about wanting to take care of her or wanting to please her in emotional ways, and that can be satisfying for you and maybe more satisfying than physically
I
satisfying
think that,
as
you
well.
know, that's very spiritually satisfying, you know?
And the guy's not really seeking that spiritual satisfaction anymore, right? It's
That's
become
what
all
I'm finding
superficial.
is all very superficial, you know. Like, why do you need? Do you really need a car? Do you really need, you know? Do you really need a Rolex? Do you really,
It's
you
very
know? Are these?
material, isn't
It
it?
is very material, but like, why does? Why are these things? Why do they have to be in place in
But
order
what
for you to
about,
for a
okay, but what
man?
about the guy who's feeling very insecure about it? I mean, I'm relating from my experience, but I'm also relating from similar experiences of my friends. A lot of guys are actually very insecure about, well, if I don't make, okay, I give the best example I can give you is I had a client. And he was getting very close to 30, and I remember him saying to me very specific, and he was already earning quite well, and he said to me, "I'm not getting married until, he was working really, really hard. I'm not getting married until I've got enough money for the car and for the house, and I want to make myself financially stable before I get married." And my opinion at that time was, I know those things are important, but that's not entirely in your control. I mean, whatever the universe doles out on you,
I
and
agree.
the economy can change, everything can change. In an instant, you can lose your house. Anything can happen. So why would you focus on that? But at the same time, I'd had a lot of rejections from women that were assessing me on my financial status very much. You know, well, you know, how are you going to take care of me? You know, it's your Islamic responsibility to be a protector and a provider. And you know, that it's in the Quran, and a lot of guys are holding on to that very hard, that your responsibility is protector and provider. But then at the same time, what you're saying to me, what I'm hearing from you is you can protect and provide, but you can do it that spiritually. It's not just about doing it physically, right? Like it's not just financial protection. And I've said all this already on previous episodes as well. I in fact said this even to Yusuf that, you know, it's you're not. The way that I look at it is, a man should be. If you look at Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know, the Prophet Ibrahim, when he went when he was at that with Hajar, when he was at that I can't remember the name of the location now, but he was at that. You know, this that bit on Umrah now, what you do, where she's the where the well for Zamzam water, where she got the water, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he went off. And she was, you know, his wife, she was in need of food and she was in need of water. And when he made a prayer for her, you know, Maslow's hierarchy is, you know, you satisfy your physical needs first, and then you satisfy your emotional needs, and then you satisfy your spiritual needs. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, his supplication was for her spiritual well-being first, then for her physical well-being. And so maybe because we're in a society that follows Maslow's hierarchy, that's probably why everybody's focusing on the physical first instead of the spiritual. But to be, you know, it seems like where you're going to find most satisfaction is by focusing on the spiritual. If you provide spiritual protection for your wife and spiritual provision for her first, and spiritual provision doesn't necessarily mean you have to take responsibility for teaching her the religion or teaching her life necessarily. You know, because it's a very kind of as was a misogynistic way of looking at it, I suppose. So you know, so spiritual first and maybe physical after, but that's kind of what I'm hearing from you, really, that's what you're looking for.
I think there is a lot of pressure on men, like for that, you know, from that financial side to, you know, to provide. And yes, I'm not saying for me personally, you know, I used to be someone who used to think like that, you know, and the reason why I've changed my views is because I see my brother, you know, I see the fact that he's not actually engaged yet is because he doesn't feel ready and he doesn't feel, and I see, you know, that kind of what kind of effects that has on the
And your brother
relationship.
works really, really hard,
Yeah, that's
right?
it.
Like he's
He
working all hours all the time.
Yeah, and I think sometimes I just think, It'll be okay if you've got that motivation, if you've got that passion,
The
if
intention,
you've got that
basically.
intention, yeah, it will work itself out one way or another. And that's exactly what I've learned from my dad. My dad, like, he did something and then asked questions later. It was about that. It was
But
about
do you think that if your brother didn't if your brother felt more ready that his his partner she'd be ready to be married, she'd be like, okay, yeah, let's get married.
Yeah, I think, she is very much ready
Okay, so she's just waiting for, but so
yeah,
that
but
could
then there's
have, yeah.
never a good time
There
when
will
for,
never be a good
yeah,
time,
there's
no.
never the perfect time. There's always something to do. So I just say, well, just go and do it. And then if that person is motivated, has got intentions to, has got that intention, then, what more do you need from
So is
someone?
that, then it's like the guy's not ready, but then he's got his needs. He wants to be with a woman and everything, but then he's not ready, so he's trying to find a way to kind of balance the whole thing, but just get married and then everything else will work itself out, right? Like have the family values and it,
I mean, yeah, I just think, don't overthink things and don't, you can't plan life, you can literally plan the next 10 years, but you do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen in an hour's time. I think there's a lot of pressure on men in today's society, to have these things in place and to
And it's not
work for these.
easy.
It's not easy.
Not
That's
in this economy, especially in
exactly.
London, for example.
Exactly, you can't put that pressure on yourself as a man, I think, in order to think, yeah, if I have A, B, and C, that equals success, when actually, I don't know, love can come to you way sooner than a job can or a car can or a
And you could lose
loan.
your job tomorrow.
Exactly. But if you've got that kind of like that kind of stability, you can build it however you want. Is stability, and I mean that in terms of family, in terms of a support network that could, that could be wife, that could be, brothers and sisters. I don't know. If
But
you've
what
got
about the guy though? Like, there are, like when I was trying to get married, I always found the guy that had the money, I always found that he got married very, very quickly, right? If he had the Porsche, for example, he would get offers left, right, and center. I literally know of a guy, he got married, he got divorced in 2 weeks, as in the divorce process began within 2 weeks, and he was remarried, I think, within less than something like 3 months.
Wow.
And if he wants to get remarried after that, it would have been very, very easy for him. And we all used to say it was a Porsche that did it. So there is this concept of the gold digger, and and there's this thing of there are certain markers, right? He's got a certain status, and so I know status can be very attractive to women. So what is a guy who's not able to attain that supposed to do? How is he supposed to feel about it?
That's a
In
good
terms of attracting a woman, he wants to get married. He's, that's something that he wants, but he's not going to be able to attain that status. And maybe he doesn't even want it. Maybe he's not that materialistic. What is he supposed to do?
In that case, if you're finding people are attracted only to the financial side of you and you don't have that in place, then that person is not right for you. I think that person will never be right for you unless they change their
But
mentality.
what if he's hoodwinked by it, right? He thinks that that the woman has got a genuine interest in him, but really it was all about the status, and maybe he can't even see that himself. What then?
Then I don't know. I mean,
Then pray.
would that relationship work? I don't know. I mean, it would just, I think it's,
No, well, it's a
it
testament to itself because it didn't work. It did fall apart. It very much did fall apart, so
exactly. Yeah. I don't see it ever working, when you've got two different conflicting interests. I don't know. If it's not something that the person, if the person is really not interested in you, but the money, then you're very dispensable because there's money everywhere, but there's only one of you.
Well, I'm sure this is very reassuring for the guys because there's a lot of that kind of insecurity. And for the guys that aren't married, they don't realize until they get into the marriage that, okay, what a lot of things that I was stressing about probably didn't have to stress about as much. It would have sorted itself out. Well, very interesting. Let me now ask you, you've kind of answered this already anyway, but what's your. Somebody who you, maybe let's say aside from your dad now, who's somebody that you consider to be a man off screen that you think this guy is the ideal man?
I would say definitely my paternal uncle, so my dad's brother. He is absolutely the most amazing family man. He will go to the ends of the world to, to protect his family. I just think he is definitely like a manly man. Whenever I see him, I just think, wow, like this is exactly how like I would want my future husband to be in terms of like the values, you know, the importance of like, you know, everything that they do, you know, they do it for, it's this kind of like selflessness, you know, that's just absolutely amazing. And you know,
Instead of self-entitlement, it's
and yeah,
selflessness.
exactly
Yeah. So the
exactly
self-entitlement is really quite unattractive, right? It's like when you're always thinking about yourself, it's very unattractive.
Yes, yes, that's true. Exactly. You know, I don't. How could you love someone? You know, how could you give someone? You know, a piece of you when you are so self-entitled, and you know, it's kind of like you want to reflect that on them, and it's kind of like you loving yourself. Does that make sense? You know, it's just a
To
long.
some extent,
Yeah, you know, it's a it, yeah. It's about, for me, it's definitely about like this kind of like selflessness. This kind of like, you know, just sacrificing, just being able to
But he
sacrifice.
doesn't have to kill himself, right? He doesn't have to,
No,
like, you're not
no.
expecting every single day, okay, well, you haven't done this for me today, or you haven't done that for me, you know. It's just a
No.
state of mind, basically, right? It's an intention that if there, if it ever came to it, I would be there for
That
you.
exactly right. So
And you just
like, you
want to
know,
feel that way all the time.
yeah, and it doesn't have to be every single time, but if there is that, we're in my family. If my mom and us have had a need, my dad, like, he will always find a way to do it, you know, and that to me is like what makes a man a man. That is a
I'm with
manly
you.
man, you know.
That's the thing that my dad always had. That's what I always loved him for as well, and
Yeah.
still do, obviously. But because it my for my dad it was okay. I mean, even to this day, my dad is still right. Okay, you need a new sofa. Like, let me go and get a lorry and bring it to you, kind of thing. He's done that a lot. So I
You
mean,
see what
that's
I
the
mean? Like
values that
he's
they have.
someone, he's proactive, you know? Like he's a go-getter. He grabs the bull
What do you
by
need?
the
What can I do for
horns.
you, basically?
Exactly. Exactly.
So on screen, I think the examples of that are probably far less now, but who is an example on screen for you that is an ideal man that people might build, because not everybody knows your paternal uncle, so
That's true. On screen, that's a very hard question. Don't, you know, these days all you see is just like you get the typical hero, you know,
The
big, so
superhero,
yeah,
it's all about the ability to be able to beat the fight, the duel and everything.
yeah, and whilst at the same time just having all the cash and all the girls in the world, you know. I don't know. I on screen, I'd actually maybe I'm thinking about like fictional characters, but you know, even like non-fictional characters, like people who have been selfless. Just like people like Mahatma Gandhi, you know, these are like people who have had motivation to do exceed
Muhammad
expectations.
Ali.
Muhammad Ali, exactly. Usain Bolt,
Usain
who
Bolt. Yeah,
he worked so hard, you know. So I think like these people who inspire others, like that's something that's definitely very
And by inspiring, they also lead as well, right?
exactly. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, Alta.
Thank
It's
you.
nice to get inside a woman's head, so to speak,
Yeah.
as well.
Thank
It's
you.
nice to have a different point of view. And I
Yeah.
think it's good for I what a lot some people say that, look, that you can't have the masculine without the feminine, you can't have the man without the woman. It's good to have a differing point of view, and for
Yeah.
men to kind of see, okay, what how is the other half thinking as well. And I definitely want to get more women on here as well, so
Awesome. I'm glad
all
I'm the first woman on this
yes, definitely. Thank you
podcast.
so much for
Thank
doing this.
you. Thank you
All
so
right.
much, Faye.
Well, that was a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this particular episode on the When Men Were Men podcast. If you have any thoughts, if you want to send in anything that you thought about this particular episode or any previous episode, you can actually go to the anchor.fm website and send in a voice message. So if you're listening to this on the app, just click the voice message button and send in your voice message of your thoughts. A minute or 2 minutes, whatever you want to say, whether you disagree with something, whether you agree with something, just your general thoughts, whatever they might be, feel free to send those in. Obviously, keep it civilized. I can't believe I have to say this in this day and age. Let's have some civilized discourse about this. And if you'd like to learn more about me, if you can go to either the anchor.fm/Khurramalik, that's Khuram hyphen Malik, that's probably where some of you already listen to this. You'll see the link to my website. If you don't, if you're listening to this somewhere else, then you can go to krmmalik.com, which is K-R-M-M, that's two M's, A-L-I-K.com. And on there, you'll have all contact details for me. If you want to get in touch, or if you know somebody that should be on this show with me, then let's talk about that.